Hello, this is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. Dental health has always been about fighting decay and trying to achieve a pearly white smile. Could dental health also be the foundation for our entire physical health? What does your smile have to do with weight loss, combating chronic disease, and living longer? Joining us is leading dentist and nutritionist, Dr. Stephen Lin, to discuss this top-down holistic health approach. Don't go anywhere. It all starts now.
It's To Your Good Health Radio with number one best-selling author and renowned wellness expert, Dr. David Friedman, changing lives just for the health of it.
Our next guest is a board-registered dentist and TEDx speaker. He's been featured in the British Dental Journal, The Independent, Huffington Post, and Reader's Digest, just to name a few. Trained at the University of Sydney with a background in biomedical science, he is a passionate health advocate that focuses on the link between nutrition and dental health. Here to talk about his latest best-selling book, The Dental Diet, welcome Dr. Stephen Lin.
Hey, David. Thanks so much for having me.
It's great to have you. I have to say I've interviewed experts on every type of diet out there you can imagine. And this is one that really caught my attention. You know, everyone focuses on how food affects the body after we digest it. But your book focuses on the gatekeeper of our entire body, which is the mouth. It offers a holistic approach, literally from the top down. Tell us, what inspired you to write The Dental Diet?
Yeah, look, you're right. You know, in the introduction, you really talked about how we really kind of missed the importance of dental health. And actually, our teeth and mouth are the most important signposts of how your entire body is going. So it's crazy that we haven't mixed nutrition and dental health together before. So for myself, I was practicing for a very long time. I was seeing, you know, my patients come in with terrible dental disease, and I didn't have the answers. I could fix the problems, but I couldn't tell them how to prevent them and how to really put their life back on track to better health. So it was a long journey. There was a book written by a dentist in the 1930s who went around the world and actually looked at how traditional and modern diets intersect, and that's where dental diseases happen. The problems we see today, tooth decay, gum disease, crooked teeth in kids, wisdom teeth impactions, are all problems with our diet, and they've not happened in the vast majority of human history. And that's what the dental diet is about, reframing our idea of how the jaw, dental arch, and smile develop to be a function of our diet.
That's great. You know, most people consider our digestive system really to be limited to the stomach and the intestines, but the mouth is actually where all digestion begins. Your teeth break up the food, the digestive enzymes in your saliva break down fats, carbs, and protein before it even reaches the stomach. What about the microbiomes that we're hearing so much about? Is there any connection between our healthy gut bacteria and our mouth?
Absolutely. And so this is one of the biggest misconceptions we have about our dental health, is that we need to scrub and clean our mouth for it to be healthy. But actually, we're swallowing thousands and thousands of bacteria every second into our gut. And the oral microbiome is one of the most exciting and powerful areas of how we can influence the entire human microbiome. We live alongside trillions of bacteria. And in the mouth, they actually defend us against those diseases. So if you have a healthy microbiota population, then they protect you against tooth decay, gum disease, and even conditions like bad breath. So we've really kind of gone down the road of killing bacteria, but we need to live alongside them, and the mouth is the first place in the body to really model that.
Yeah. And, you know, in your book, you pretty much have this profound quote that hit me that you don't hear from most dentists. You write, food, not drills and needles, are the key to a better smile. And we know sugary foods are bad for us. Are there any other types of foods we need to be aware of that are on the do not eat list?
Yeah, exactly. So sugar is kind of the one that everyone, you know, your mind goes straight to there in terms of preventing tooth decay. But that really hasn't worked. You know, dentists have been talking about sugar for decades now, and it's not stopped us from eating sugar. So there's a whole category of foods that basically sit on the supermarket shelf now that are doing harm to our mouths and bodies, and they're the processed foods. So sugar is the one. White flour is a big one too, because you've got to remember those refined carbohydrates are broken down to sugars in the body. So it's a very similar metabolic effect. But the big one are refined vegetable oils. This sneaks into many packaged foods, especially here in the U.S. You really need to remove these out of your diet. So your soybean oils, your canola oils, these are fats that your body doesn't recognize, and it stops us from absorbing the nutrients that build healthy teeth and bones.
Right. What about fruit? Because I know people have mixed opinions on fruit because it's high in fructose. What's your opinion on for the teeth and gums?
Look, so fruit is one of those. So in the book, we do a 40-week plan. And so the first week, we take out refined sugars and include fruit. But for 2 weeks, I take my patients off fruit just so you can your body can feel what it's like not to have that sugar hit. So fruit is one of the richest source of natural sugar that you can have. And that's fine if you're not getting sugar from other sources. So I tell my patients to be aware. We learn in the dental diet how, that really, we haven't had a lot of access to kind of lots of fruit and, these big juicy fruits we're eating all the time, which are really quite large sugar doses. And so it's one of those gray foods that we need to at least be aware of. And so sure, fruits are healthy, but if you're having, 40, 50, up to 100 grams of processed sugar elsewhere, that's all adding up to a metabolic effect in your body.
Right. So an apple a day doesn't keep the dentist away?
Not exactly, no.
Okay. Hey, you mentioned crooked teeth. I want to bring that up because it seems like more kids today are needing braces than decades ago. Is there any connection between crooked teeth, diet, and general health?
There absolutely is, and this is one of the most important points we talk about in the dental diet, is that crooked teeth is the biggest health epidemic on the planet. And so over 75% of kids now have what we call dental malocclusions, which is crooked teeth. But I've barely seen a child that grows a jaw to fit 32 human teeth. And so when we put braces on a kid at 10 to 12 or a young adolescent or young adult has wisdom teeth impactions, that's the same problem. It's a problem that our jaws aren't growing. And so we need to see crooked teeth as a sign of the craniofacial system not growing sufficiently. And it's only happened in a very, very recent part of our human history when we eat the modern diet. So that's a very, very important point that we really need to establish. And that in the dental diet, we learn the key nutrients that actually drive jaw growth actually to fit teeth. It's so important that we reprogram our minds to think of it like this.
Got it. So are there certain foods that people need to be thinking about for strong and strong teeth or straighter teeth?
Absolutely. So the fat-soluble vitamins are the key steps that guide calcium balance in the body. So they drive the immune system inside your teeth. They drive bone growth. They drive hormones and sex hormones. So these are the things that tell our body to be strong with it and fight off infections with the immune system naturally. But they also tell the bones to grow. So vitamin D, vitamin A, vitamin K2 are crucial. And so these are foods that we've actually stripped out of the diet. So foods like butter, eggs, grass-raised dairy, organ meats are rich in these foods. So and eating them with healthy fats, so natural fats, even animal fats as well, actually help us to absorb these nutrients because they're fat soluble. So if you don't eat, for instance, if you take a vitamin D supplement without a fatty meal, you won't absorb any because your body doesn't have the building blocks to build the packaging system to send it around your body. So you have to reintroduce these whole fat foods to have healthy teeth, jaws, and bones.
Right. And it's not necessarily teeth. I guess a lot of this issue with the health is in the gums. And I know I've read many times that gum disease and heart disease connection. Share with the listeners how gingivitis can negatively affect the heart.
Yeah, exactly. So the studies say that 85% of people who have heart attacks have gum disease. And so there's this correlation there. The studies don't prove causation, but the underlying factor here is actually being directed towards calcium management. And so, for instance, that tartar buildup the dentist cleans up behind your front teeth, your lower front teeth when you go for a clean?
Right.
So that dental tartar is actually calcified plaque. And it's a sign that your body isn't managing calcium. And so I see patients that would have this huge buildup, and there was no reason, their oral hygiene wasn't any worse. But what we're actually finding now is that the coronary calcium score is one of the best indicators for cardiovascular health. So if you have calcified plaque in the mouth, it's likely that your arteries are also calcifying up as well. And this is all related to vitamin K2 because it actually activates proteins that carries calcium out of your arteries and into your bones and teeth. So this is a really crucial point that we learn in the dental diet, that these vitamins do very, very fundamental things in the body, and that the nutrients and the management of minerals is fundamental to our body's physiology.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, we all hear about, you know, the healthy neighbor or friend that just killed over of a heart attack, and he didn't have any signs, he didn't have bad cholesterol, and, you know, if we check that person's teeth, he may have gum disease. You know, that sounds like
Absolutely. It's
amazing.
You know, you couldn't be more right there, David. It's you know, and gum disease is, you know, estimated to, you know, up to 90% of U.S. People have some level of gum disease, and it's a sign of your gut not being happy. So your mouth is an interface between bacteria and your immune system. Those bleeding gums is your gut saying that there's something you're not doing right.
Exactly. I know in your book you share the comparison between our teeth today and our ancestors, and you reveal how they had straighter teeth with less occurrence of cavities. Obviously, the first thing we would say, well, they didn't have consumption of sugar back then, but is there more to the story? What's so different between us today and our ancestors of yesteryear?
Yeah, this is a really eye-opening point for me, because anthropologically, humans didn't have dental disease. You don't find any dental disease, barely any tooth decay, only in very small, very, very small pockets. No crooked teeth, no gum disease, no wisdom teeth infections. For the vast majority, you know, the 2 million years that we've looked at jaws and teeth, and you've got to remember that the human fossil record is mainly built in jaws and teeth, because it's the most sturdy part of the body that survives. Archaeologically, we don't have dental disease. For 2 million years, we walked the planet. And so we had perfect teeth, never any. And you've got to remember, too, that no biological system, no animal system, except when we have pets and in zoos, do we start to have similar levels of dental disease. You see pets now with gum disease and crooked teeth. This hasn't happened on any population on the planet for its entire history. And so what we see today in the dental office is a vast deviation from normal human health. We have to frame it that way. And kids that do not develop jaws that fit teeth is a serious problem, because those jaw bones also house airways, and breathing is such an important part of, you know, what it is to be human, right? And so in the dental diet, we learn how breathing affects the jaws, and how actually today we have a preventative orthodontic model that can actually intervene in the childhood growth cycle, get them to breathe right, we get them to function right, we get them to eat right, and their jaws develop naturally. It's a really exciting area of medicine.
More with Dr. David Friedman coming up. But first, I want to tell you about Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, and vegetarians get lower rates on their life insurance. Yes, I'm not kidding. This is really cool. Health IQ can save you up to 33% because physically active people have a 56% lower risk of heart disease, 20% lower risk of cancer, and a 58% lower risk of diabetes compared to people who are inactive. And these savings are exclusive to Health IQ. Now, you have to qualify by taking a Health IQ quiz or other lifestyle quizzes like the Cycling IQ or Running IQ quiz. And you can also get additional savings by submitting actual data such as race results from a 5K that you've run. And Health IQ doesn't just take this info and pass it on to an insurer. They are with you every step of the way, from interest to application through underwriting to the final policy enforcement. It's pretty cool. Now, by being healthy, you not only live a better life, but now you can also pay less for your life insurance. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/goodhealth, or mention the promo code goodhealth when you talk to a Health IQ agent. Once again, check it out at healthiq.com/goodhealth. Now back to Dr. David Friedman.
Yeah, and you mentioned about the jaws and how the teeth fit. One chapter I read in your book was The Ancient Wisdom of Our Teeth, and it talks about the excessive extraction of wisdom teeth. I want to share a personal story. I want to get your feedback. When I was in my last year of high school, my dentist told me I had 4 wisdom teeth coming in, and I had to have them all removed. And I asked him, I said, why would I do that? They didn't give me any trouble. And he replied, and I quote, he says, everybody needs their wisdom teeth removed so they don't make their other teeth crooked. And I said, so God made the this huge mistake by creating wisdom teeth in billions of people currently living on the planet. And he said, well, we did need them back when we were cavemen. Anyway, I refused to get my wisdom teeth pulled, and today my teeth are perfectly aligned. And for all of those listeners that still have their wisdom teeth, do they need to get them pulled? What's your advice?
Well, so the thing about wisdom teeth is that you're absolutely on the money there. It's not normal for our jaws not to fit them. And so with wisdom teeth, what that actually is so if you look at an ancestral skull, for instance, you'll see this huge wide jaw that has, you know, space actually behind the wisdom tooth. Now today, I see kids with this tiny rounded off jaw that barely has enough room, and the wisdom teeth are actually pressed up against that second tooth, that second molar tooth. And so what the core issue here is that our jaws aren't growing. Now when the adult dentition comes in at 12, we go through another cycle of growing up until the ages between 20 and 25, where that back part of the upper and lower jaw needs to develop. And that's what fits wisdom teeth. So if you're not feeding yourself the right things and sending these dietary epigenetic messages, that's why wisdom teeth don't occur. And your dentist's reaction to that completely, consider, you know, that why wisdom teeth infections occur in the first place. And so for certain people who get infections and, for instance, the tooth can be pressing against the tooth in front, there can be a risk of, for instance, decay on the tooth in front because there's a pocket you can't clean. That's when I would suggest having wisdom teeth out. But for the most part, you know, you can monitor. If you don't have a problem, you can definitely monitor and wait, as you did, David.
Right. And so diet does take, if someone really ate a healthy diet, that would determine. Yeah, maybe that's why I eat a good diet. So maybe I'm one of the exceptions.
Absolutely. And so you had a strong immune system, which means you had less gut inflammation. You had a healthy oral microbiome. So it all just, you know, our body has this amazing system to prevent dental disease, you know, with the tools that it has.
That's great. You know, I was at my eye doctor a couple of weeks ago, and he was telling me that just by looking into somebody's eyes, he can tell whether they have high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, or if they had a previous stroke and so on. Are you able to look in somebody's mouth and diagnose them beyond just decay, abscess, tooth, or gingivitis?
Yeah, absolutely. And so this is what's so powerful about the mouth is that we can pick up signs of nearly every chronic disease process out there. And so, you know, before we talked about the oral microbiome, but we know the gut connects to our digestive system, immune system, metabolism, you know, right through the brain. So we're looking at the direct pathway to every organ system in your body. And so one thing that people often don't realize is that there's huge signs in the mouth about breathing. So teeth grinding, for instance, people that grind their teeth at night, that's actually a sign that you're not breathing right at night, and you're actually going through like a choking response, and your brain is pushing your jaw forward. And that's why you grind your teeth. And it's a sign of sleep apnea now, or a certain level of sleep apnea. Now, people have, the research has linked sleep apnea to heart disease, high blood pressure, Alzheimer's disease, dementia, ADHD in kids. So breathing issues at night and people who don't sleep well links to nearly every chronic condition. So there's very, very powerful connections to very significant and quite dangerous diseases that we can spot in the mouth simply by picking up, a dental problem like teeth grinding or, if you have toothache or bleeding gums, we can get you back on the track to help.
That's great. So in the dental diet, I see that you do address sleep apnea, which is so common. Do you actually address certain protocols that will help these individuals?
Absolutely. So breathing protocols. So breathing through the nose is really important. And in the dental diet, we learned that most important nutrient is oxygen. And so we really have to reframe that the mouth is designed to deliver all of these nutrients, and oxygen is one of the most important. So nasal breathing, retraining kids, retraining yourself for nasal breathing is absolutely critical to helping your nighttime breathing. And so they've actually shown studies, for instance, where people with sleep apnea were trained on an Australian didgeridoo, which is like a wind instrument. And they actually showed a significant decrease in sleep apnea symptoms. So if you breathe correctly through the day, you teach the muscles to breathe properly through the night. Nasal breathing delivers nitric oxide, whereas if you breathe through the mouth, that doesn't occur. And so you can retrain your body's systems to breathe correctly and deliver oxygen as it's designed to.
Yeah, and you brought up a good point that, you know, sleep apnea or difficulty sleeping at night is linked to so many chronic diseases. But one thing I want to mention is it's linked to obesity. So if you're having a hard time losing weight and you do all these other diets, counting calories, exercising, and you've not lost, you may be lacking sleep at night because the hormones ghrelin and leptin are messed up. It wreaks havoc on those. So, you know, he's bringing up a good point where it's not just your diseases, but if you're just having a hard time getting your New Year's resolution of losing weight, that's one of the reasons.
Completely, David. You couldn't be more on the money there. You know, we're really seeing obesity as an underlying problem, you know, hormonal problem, but also inflammation problem. We can really pick these up and solve them in the mouth first. And, you know, I've had lots of patients, you know, lose 10 kilograms without even trying because we've changed their diet. They've gone on the 40-day program in the book. And, you know, it does change your life if you just understand the your body from the top down, as you so well described it.
Yeah, that's great. Let me ask you, when it comes to plant-based diet versus paleo meat eaters, is there a particular group that has healthier teeth?
There has been, obviously the vegan movement has been quite significant in the last years. I have seen an uptick in people who have taken on a solely vegan diet in dental decay. So I've seen very rampant decay. And the reason is because we don't get those fat-soluble nutrients. So there are certain nutrients from animal foods that we need to understand that the body needs. And whether you eat plant foods or animal foods, you need to understand at least if you're not having them, you need to at least supplement them. That's what we learn in the book. But the dental diet is plant-based. We should always have a base of plants as the highest volume of foods we're eating. But we need to eat those nutrient-dense foods that grow bones, that fuel immune systems, and that we can't get solely from plant foods.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was going to ask you, is there such thing as flossing or brushing your teeth too much? And I've read that you can kind of overdo it, especially flossing, and I was guilty of that. I used to floss, 10 times a day, and I ruined my gum between the teeth. Is it possible to overdo it?
Yeah, definitely. And you know, quite a big fall down in dental advice is that we've been so focused on brushing and flossing. You know, but something I like to tell my patients and we learn in the book is that if you've got a car problem with an engine, a broken engine, do you take it to the car wash? No, you don't. You go to the mechanic and you get them to look under the hood and see what the problem is. And brushing and flossing is great. You know, it's a great way to cleanse the oral environment and control plaque levels, but it doesn't address the core issues of why dental diseases occur. So we can do damage over brushing and flossing, but you got to remember that food is your primary way to prevent and, you know, create lifelong great dental health and overall health as well.
Right. That's a good point. Now, I know your book has a 40-day meal plan and diet-approved foods. Give us an example of something we should be eating during these 40 days. Do you break it down to breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Yeah. So we have three meals a day. And so, you know, I really try and reintroduce food that take us away from this processed diet that we've been on for unfortunately so long. So getting back to, you know, something like a red butter curry, you know, with real butter, spiced with paprika and turmeric. So you've got this deep red color and a nice cut of organically raised steak with some green vegetables. You know, this kind of stuff is what your body is craving. You know, we really try and get back to traditional food preparation, so fermented foods, learning how that feeds the your mouth and the bugs that live in your mouth. Also, soups and broth, so these long, time-honored broths that actually extract these nutrients from the joints and bones of animals that actually feed your gums, teeth, and gut as well. So we learn about how all of this, you know, is a model of human eating for teeth. And so getting back to these more traditional styles, but in a modern world, so there's a fast, you know, delicious food program there that you can start today when you order the book.
Right. And then so you mentioned, obviously, no sugar. Do you give, like, substitutes? All right, if you have a sweet tooth, you know, it's called a sweet tooth for a reason. We crave that. What can they reach for? Is there something that they can use in these meals to kind of sweeten things up if they need it?
You know what? The meals are designed to redevelop your palate. So I don't like artificial sweeteners because I think it gives us that crux to go to something sweet. We need to completely reshape that. So we go through that 2-week zero sugar period And what I do is, you know, we have foods that replace nourishment. So, for instance, coconut oil. One of my favorites, kind of chocolate sauce. So coconut oil melted with cacao powder and a bit of cinnamon and a little bit of salt. It's a sweet. You can drip that on some full-fat yogurt. And that's a chocolate dessert where your body is getting that hit. You're having no sugar there whatsoever. So things like avocado mousse and really replacing with nourishing fat. So you don't want those sugary foods. That's a really important point, because I've been trying to tell my patients to cut sugar for years, and it just never works unless you give them these valid replacements.
Dad, I've done an avocado mousse, and I'll tell you, it's delicious. It's whipped, and it's got that nice chocolatey flavor, and it's healthier. So people hear that and go, ooh, avocado Absolutely. Mousse, but it's actually a great way to make that. And it's obviously teeth and mouth healthy as well. That's fantastic. Well, great. So 40 mils in the dental plan approved diet. It's been great information. It's like I said, it's very unique. It's a unique diet, but it makes sense. It's not like someone says, you know, podiatrist saying your foot diet. That doesn't make sense. But the dental diet, everything begins in the mouth. It makes sense. If a foot doctor wanted to do a diet, I probably wouldn't have him on the show. So that's
you
great.
Don't eat with your feet. You just don't eat with them, do you, David?
You don't eat with your feet, though. So that's great. So yeah, it's great. I did read the book. I'd highly recommend it. I want to thank you so much for being on the show, Doc.
Thanks so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
That's great. To learn more and to get your copy of The Dental Diet, visit drstephenlin.com. And while you're there, be sure to read his informative blog posts, healthy recipes, and sign up for his updates. You can follow Dr. Lin on Twitter at Dr. Stephen Lin. For my daily health tweets, follow me at Dr. David Friedman. If you heard something today that you'd like to share with somebody, send them a link to this podcast that you just heard. It's available at toyourgoodhealthradio.com. Peruse our podcast library and share segments of interest with friends, family, coworkers, on social media. This information is too important to keep to yourself. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iHeartRadio and iTunes. More to come. Stay tuned and stay well.